This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, lots to get to on this NFL trade deadline slash Halloween edition of the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. It's also the debut of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee rankings. They're going to come out later tonight. So we'll get some scary opinions on college football from Aaron Moore in about a half an hour. I just need to stop, Michael. How are you? How's it going? The Halloween theme working for you?
It works great. I can't wait. Got kids coming around. I love it when they come around the neighborhood, pass out the big chocolate. You know how that goes.
So do you? You get Hopefully a chair, you sit outside, and you do the big candy bars.
No, I don't get a chair. I gotta keep Bella from barking and destroying the whole neighborhood down. So I'll sit out on my front porch and just watch it, you know, and hand it out. I mean, last year I left out the bag and I went down the street, Millie and I, and by the time I got home 5 minutes later, all the candy was gone. I think somebody just robbed it all. But so I'll mind the store today. I like to see the costumes, and you know, those kids look adorable in those little costumes. Sometimes I don't know what they're trying to accomplish with, because I don't know the look. Millie's not with me, so I have to rely on, like, tell me who that was. You know, like, I don't know. I'm not that hip up on all that stuff.
No, I struggle with that too. I do admire people that get really into Halloween, because it takes a lot of like time, effort, dedication to put the whole costumes together. I've just never really been that person. I dedicate a lot of my time to the candy selection. That's very important to me.
What is your favorite candy?
Far and away, Reese's shapes, right? So the Reese's pumpkins for Halloween are like top tier, because you get the extra peanut butter added in there. But Twix are also a classic. Snickers are a classic. Like, I have Halloween candy in my household for a month and a half before Halloween, and then I have to go buy more Halloween candy for the children. That's what I do.
Yeah, I can understand that. Always hard.
Life we live.
Yeah.
But anyways, we've got some treats here on this show, including some NFL trades that have taken place over the last 24 hours. A little bit ago, we saw Montez Sweat get traded from the Washington Commanders to the Chicago Bears for a second round pick. And about 20 minutes ago, Josh Dobbs, Michael, traded for the second time in 3 months. He goes from Arizona now to the Minnesota Vikings with Kirk Cousins done for the season with an Achilles injury.
Yeah, I mean, and look, he's going to go to a team that, you know, look, we know Minnesota struggles to run the football. And that's been a challenge. And this kid's thrown the ball with completions. He hasn't made a lot of great throws. He's been under a lot of pressure. And they've always been playing from behind. But as bad as it's been for the Cardinals, when you break it down, I mean, with him under center, they were 18th on third down, which is pretty good, right? Considering where they are. And they were 16th in the red zone. I think Kevin O'Connell will be able to get him some help here. I don't think he'll play right away, but they're going to need him to play right away. And the way they got to manage him correctly. The problem is, I worry they have no run game. They've been playing much better pass, much better defense over the last three weeks. Even against Kansas City, the game they lost, they were playing much better defense. And early in the season, they turned the ball over so much in the red zone. I mean, when you look at it, Tampa, 3 turnovers, Philly, 4 turnovers, the Chargers, 2 turnovers, and all of them were costly. But since that Charger game, they have played really good defense, and they haven't turned the ball over to the level that we saw. They've turned the ball over in every single game they've played, but they haven't turned it over to the level in the red zone that they did going back to that Charger game.
Yeah, and you think what could have been with Kirk Cousins really getting to form, playing some good football. He was leading the league, tied with Tua Tagovailoa with 18 touchdown passes, second in passing yards. You know that you're going to get Justin Jefferson back in the near future, and hoping that you could build on what was winning 4 of your last 5 games. So apparently not enough trust in Jaren Hall. I thought they might go out and get Jameis Winston. That was some of the rumor. Or Colt McCoy, who O'Connell had a previous relationship with as a quarterback coach. But Dobbs ends up being the guy.
You know, I think Dobbs, we know, is really smart. So he's going to come in. He's going to know what to do. You know, there'll be carryover from Celtics offense in Arizona to what O'Connell does. They're kind of similar. They're both from the McVay school. It's Stefanski, all those kind of the West Coast principles. So I don't think it's going to be too hard for him to learn the offense and get it in. But I think, to me, you know, until they get Jefferson back, they're going to have to try to figure out a way to run the football more effectively, right? That's the biggest concern. They have not been able to run the ball with any level of consistency when you look at them as they play each week. And you know, that's classically what happens, because when you trade away Cook, you think, okay, Madison's going to be a really good player. Well, they're 31st in attempts. They're 31st in yards. They're 31st in touchdown. And they're 28th in yards per attempt. That's not good.
Getting 4.5 points on the road in Atlanta this weekend, total 37.5. Also, no movement.
It went down to 4.5. I thought it was 5. Wow, it moved a little bit, huh?
Yep. No movement on this yet, Michael, but what do you make of the reports out there from our guy Jordan Schultz saying that teams are calling the Patriots about Ezekiel Elliott?
Well, I think, you know, everybody's looking for another dependable back, and the Patriots are 2-6, and, you know, I'm sure Zeke probably wants to. I don't think Zeke signed in New England thinking he was going to have to play for a bad team. You know, I think that's part of it. When you sign a guy like Zeke on a one-year deal, you know, you kind of – the kid probably wants to go somewhere and play to win, and he's not been there. So they're not going to get a lot for him. I mean, he was a free agent out there a long time. So most of these deals that happen, like when you look at the Leonard Williams deal, you know, what the Giants did for the Leonard Williams deal was fairly remarkable. So Leonard Williams had $10 million left on his contract, paragraph 5. So the Giants paid down to $9.35 million. And Seattle, all it cost them was a second-round pick, expensive, but $650,000. They're paying them the minimum salary. The Giants have basically spent $9.3 million for a second-round pick. You know, if your owner's willing to do that, that's a great thing. And in most of these cases, the team that trades away the guy, like New England, if they trade Zeke, they'll probably have to eat most of the contract, whatever they get back.
Yeah. If there are, we know, Michael, there are a lot of teams out there that are dealing with red zone issues right now. And so if you need a punch it in short yardage goal line type guy, Zeke would be a great addition for a team that's looking for something like that. We also, not trade deadline wise, but just an injury update for Thursday Night Football coming up this weekend. Steelers and Titans going head to head. We know the expectation is we'll see Will Levis again for Tennessee. But Kenny Pickett, who left this past weekend's game with a rib injury, says that he plans to play. So sorry, MVP Mitch fans out there. Looks like Pickett's going to try to give it a go on Thursday.
Well, I mean, look, you know, the bigger injury to me, because whether it's Pickett or whether it's MVP Mitch, they're not good on offense, right? We know that. The concern you have at Pittsburgh is Minkah Fitzpatrick going to play?
Right.
Because one thing we've seen so far with the Steeler team, they're not to the level they were last year defensively. They give up 4.5 yards per rush. They give up 7.6 yards per play. They're 42% defensively on third down, you know, and here's their issue. And I'll keep harping this until it stops. They get behind 43-14 in the first quarter. So they're like New England. They're like the Raiders. They're like all these bad teams, right? They get behind early, right? And then they get further behind in the second, and they have to mount this second half comeback, and it becomes too much for them to overcome with a team that has no passing game. I was telling you before the show, I love these narratives that come out. You know, Raiders can't get the ball to Devontae Adams. Okay, well, the overthrow him by 5 yards on two passes, I guess that's not getting him the ball. Same thing with Warren, the running back. Everybody wants him to play Warren. Najee Harris is terrible. He doesn't play very good. He can't play. Get him out of the game. Why would we play him? It's a waste of time, right? Okay, I've heard that narrative for how long now? You've heard it too, right, Stormy? So when you break down the numbers and you look at it, Harris has got averages 3.7 yards. He's got a long of 24. Warren, he's got less carries. He averages 0.2 yards more per carry. And his long run is only 18 yards. Well, you say Warren's much better in the passing game, right? Okay. He's got 26 catches for 184 yards, 7.1. Harris has got 13 catches for 94 yards, his long of 32. So, like, are they really better playing Warren than they are Harris? Doesn't it seem a lot like the same player to you?
Well, Michael, I always say, especially from a fan standpoint, it's like if one guy's making you unhappy from what you're seeing, you just automatically think the grass must be greener on the other side, and this other guy's got to be the answer, when more often than not, they're either the same or technically worse, according to the numbers, based on that thought. It's like a fan mentality.
It is such a fan mentality. You know, Kyle Shanahan can't win 2 years in a row. Bill Walsh goes 2-14. I see on the rundown today, should the Raiders clean house? They're seven games into the second year. Like at some point, when do you clean house? Like, the you know, Robert Saleh, what's his record after 3 years with the Jets? Like, we have this mentality, like, it's just gone. Dude. Now, look, it's not my call whether they fire the Raiders staff or not. I don't know. But 2 years? I mean, Bill Walsh would have been fired in San Francisco. He went 2-14 2 years in a row. So it's like these narratives that get out there that just people continue down the road with them and nobody looks back. Kyle Shanahan's 8 games over .500 as a head football coach. He's 0-39 going into the fourth quarter if he's down by seven or more. And yet we think he's the Mount Rushmore of head coaches. 8 games over .500. So he had losing seasons in there. That's my point. And these narratives that come out, like this narrative on Najee Harris, is no good. But the one thing that is true is this Steeler passing game is not good. If you take away the two big plays, right, you take away the 71-yarder against the Raiders and the 72-yarder against the Browns that pick it through, this team, instead of averaging 10.6 yards per catch, it shoots all the way down to 9.3.
Now, low total.
They can't throw the ball.
Yeah, low total in this game, by the way, as well. 36. Steelers laying 3 in this spot. And because you started off this segment talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick, for anybody that missed it, he went down early in that game against Jacksonville with a hamstring injury and he has already been ruled out for Thursday. So he is for sure not going to be out there on the field, which is a massive loss, exactly, Michael, for Thursday night football coming up in just a couple of days. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we are headed this Halloween to the futures graveyard. Which of these futures tickets should we just, all right, tear up, send it to the futures graveyard? It's dead. And which could still rise above and be alive?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That includes daily best bets, unlimited access to the betting splits page, plus our exclusive betting content throughout the rest of the World Series, college football, NFL, March Madness, as well as the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft in the summer. You don't want to miss out. This is a limited time offer. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up now. And of course, yesterday was the Sports Equinox Day where we had all four major sports in action. Thanks to everybody who followed along with us for the parlay yesterday. Unfortunately, the 11-1 payout didn't cash, but our leg did, Michael. So if anybody was listening and listened to our thought process on taking the Lions in the first half yesterday, you cashed that ticket.
Yeah, one wrong, all wrong, though, unfortunately. Ugh. You know, so we don't win that one. The first half, that was close for us. I thought that was a close one. Oh, I just got an alert, Stormy. So let's see
what the trade could be.
The Vikings are trading Ezra Cleveland, the offensive guard, to the Jacksonville Jaguars to beef up their offensive line. Hmm. So, you know, it gives them a chance, and it'll be a third-day pick. So it's hard to trade good linemen, but Cleveland hadn't played well for Minnesota. They've kind of replaced him in their starting lineup. And Jacksonville's kind of gotten beat up in their offensive line, and they needed some reinforcements. So, you know, he's going to have to play better for them to be a good player. Now, Cleveland's been hurt. They've been playing Risner inside there. So I think that's kind of where this is going to go. So maybe by the time you tally it up, they probably traded Ezra Cleveland for Joshua Dobbs.
Yeah, I love it when a plan comes together. It all comes together. Yeah, Josh Dobbs, poor guy, traded three teams in the last 3 months now, from the Browns to Arizona, now on his way to the Minnesota Vikings. Michael, we talked yesterday about how last year there was an NFL record 11 trades that were done on actual trade deadline day. Been a little bit slow here and only about an hour and a half or so up until that actual deadline. How much more movement do you anticipate us seeing here soon?
Well, I can't. I don't know if it's going to be the same. Obviously, yeah. It takes a while to get these deals put together, especially the ones where, like, you got to get the guy to agree to a contract to restructure, like the Leonard Williams. He had to take all his money. He had to rework it. It'll get announced today. So I think that's where it makes it very difficult. These minor deals like this, we're trading player for player or player for his third-day pick, you could see them going 5 minutes before you just call that in. That's not hard to make. The hard ones are when you've got to get cooperation from the player to redo his contract.
Okay. Well, let's go to our futures graveyard, Michael. We're going to see if some of these futures tickets are dead and buried and it's time to tear up the ticket, or if there is still life and they could resurrect themselves from the bottom of the barrel here. And we're going to start with a team that actually had a trade today in the Washington Commanders, who opened the season 2-0, have been 1-5 since, traded away Montez Sweat earlier today and are taking calls on Chase Young, an offensive line that has given up an NFL-high 43 sacks on their quarterback, Sam Howell. They opened the season plus 270 to make the playoffs. They're now 10-1. Is that a ticket that we send to the futures graveyard?
Dead ticket. I think the over 7.5's dead too. I think that was a blown that was a bad decision on my part on the guide. I can't see them hitting. I was really counting on, I assumed wrongly, that they would be better. They would improve on a defense that was really good. And they didn't, and they haven't. And their defense has gotten statistically so worse from last year. I can't explain it. You know, when everybody talks about, oh my God, they got this great defensive front. Well, they do by the media standards. I don't know by what Pro Football Focus thinks of them, but they don't play very good.
And that talent is walking out the door. How about out there in Carolina, Michael, the Panthers? We have a ticket to win the NFC South. It was plus 475 in the preseason. Now 65-1. Now, hold on. Hear me out. Did it take them longer than any other NFL team to get their first win of the season? Why, yes, it did. But now they have it, Michael. They also have a very easy season on paper moving forward.
Nothing's easy for them, Stormy. Nothing's easy for them. Let's just put that in perspective.
So, is this ticket dead and buried in the futures graveyard, or should we double down and take a 65-1 on Carolina to come back in the NFC South?
Don't spend good money for bad money, Stormy. Kill this ticket. Tear it up. It's a sunk cost. Ah. It's lost. We screwed it up.
Dang it.
Yeah, we messed it up. I mean, look, it is what it is, right? And so we did it.
I was thinking maybe Thomas Brown doing the play calling, get their first win, a little confidence, string it together. Okay. All right. Dead and buried. How about the New York Jets to make the playoffs? In the preseason, it was minus 130. Now plus 230. They are over 500, riding a 3-game win streak. Has it been ugly? Yes. Is this dead and buried, or could it be alive? Could it be alive?
Oh, my God. I don't understand Jet fans. They're so happy they won last week. And I'm sitting there thinking, you idiots. Like, you don't want to win. You're not going anywhere. Where are you going? Like, you're not, you know, you're going to make the playoffs and bring Zach Wilson out for
their
a playoff game.
They're one spot out of the wild card.
I mean, America, yeah, I hope you keep winning and don't make so you get a worse draft pick. I mean, seriously, this is what cracks me up. Kyle Shanahan's got great players on his team. They draft well. But he's been able to, the best player on his team was because he went to the playoffs, and the next year Garoppolo gets hurt and he can't win a game, and he's got the second pick overall in the draft. Everybody's forgotten that, right? Everybody's forgotten that. You know, well, he's a great coach. He is. I love Kyle to death. But that's how he got Nick Bosa. If you're the Jets, I would rather lose every game. I mean, when I get Rodgers back, I'll just regroup for next year.
Well, I'm telling you, Michael, they want to win because they think they're getting Rodgers back this year. It took a miracle.
How's he going to move over? I mean, seriously.
I agree.
Off an Achilles. I mean, look at these guys that come back from injury. They talked about Peyton Manning last night. You know, I mean, like, it's hard to come back. Look at Garoppolo, his lower body. He's still worried about his foot, I bet. I bet that's part of it. You know, those lower body injuries that don't go away. You got to plan on that football at this level in January. Come on, please,
Michael. It took.
I hope he's trying.
Yeah, With the Jets, though, it took a miracle for them to beat a team with a -9 net passing yards for the game. It took a miracle.
Stop looking at the scoreboard. The scoreboard lies to you.
Do you want to know a fun stat? A fun stat for all the Jets fans out there that think that they're going to the playoffs and they're going to win the AFC still? The Jets are 4-3 right now, yes, having the least amount of time with a lead in the NFL. The Carolina Panthers, who just got their first win in the entire season, have led football games for longer than the Jets have. That's insane to me.
I love that stat. All right.
Just throwing that out there. Let's go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, some people thought that maybe the Jags weren't for real. They were going to miss the playoffs. Bet that +155. They're an odds-on favorite to win the division now, -500. Is this dead and buried, Michael?
Yeah, that's dead and buried. I mean, nobody's going to keep them out.
Are any of these going to be alive?
No, I think we're done. I think that one's done. I mean, Tennessee, look, Jacksonville, everybody loves Indianapolis. They can't play a lick of defense, right? They can't play a lick of defense. I mean, they gave up 511 yards to check down Charlie. I mean, so, like, look, you know, and, like, where are they going? And we know the Texans, to me, I think the next couple weeks are really important for the Texans. I think they're a much better team. And DeMeco Ryans deserves a ton of credit for what they've done. But they're not ready to compete at the next level. They really aren't. And so, I mean, and people, I thought Carolina did a nice job of defending them. So, for me, I feel like, okay, you know, this is exactly what you wanted from Houston. We are showing progress that we're improving.
I hate to say it. I think this next one we're also going to go ahead and send to the futures graveyard. But you tell me, because the Denver Broncos are coming off a huge division win over the Super Bowl favorite Kansas City Chiefs. Anybody that bet that over 8.5 wins, Michael, they're 3-5 right now. Back-to-back wins. Could they still get there, maybe? Or dead and buried?
I don't think it's dead and buried yet. Look, I mean, they held the Chiefs. Think about this now. I mean, they held this Chief offense, which we know isn't very good, isn't playing at the highest level, to 28 points in two games. Think about that now. For a team that gave up 70 in week two or three of the season, they held the Chief team. If you combine the two scores of the two games, they've held them to 28 points, and they gave Mahomes one of his worst games in his career. Now, true, he's coming off the flu. I don't know if it's dead yet. I really don't.
I think we're going to end on that one. End on a high note. We found one ticket that is worth not completely tearing up and, you know, throwing into the burial grave. Going 6 feet under. We got one. All right. We're going to step aside here. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention from the NFL to college football. Coming up later tonight, this is the first day that we will have the college football playoff selection committee rankings come out. So VSiN's own Aaron Moore is going to help us figure out maybe who's going to be that top four in, first two out, some best bets for this Saturday slate. I'm excited. We got some scary good picks coming up with Aaron.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS, V-E-G-A-S, when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We are cruising on this Halloween edition of the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL GM Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you, and we're going to talk some college football now as we welcome in great friend of the show, VSiN writer Aaron Moore, sports media professor at Pub Relation Prof on X. And we have the first set of selection committee rankings that are coming out today for college football. And I'm curious your opinion on this. Our boss, John Goulet, just came in here and was talking about how these initial sets of rankings, obviously, they mean nothing in the grand scheme of things, right? But I think what it does give us is perspective on what the selection committee is thinking, how they prioritize some of the elements that are important to them. What do you expect to see tonight, Aaron?
Yeah, Story, I agree 100%. We love to talk about college football in the prediction standpoint, what's going to happen. And now we can actually see tonight what's going to happen with the selection committee. So who those top four teams are, that gives us a good indication about how our futures tickets are, what we look for in bets down the road. But those four teams right now, the analogy I would use is tonight is a snapshot. The movie premiere, it won't be for about 4 or 5 more weeks from now. So we can look at these four teams who are going to be in there and look at these 2 or 3 teams on the outside and say, this is going to change. There's still 5 more weeks of the season to go. So the key is to see who's in the mix. Definitely that mix is going to change over the next few weeks.
Aaron, so we watched Oregon just dominate Utah. And I mean, they matched them physically, mentally, all those things. And we know the Washington game was really good. Would you say if Oregon played Washington again, they would be the team that comes out the victor?
I think, Michael, the books would have Oregon as the favorite. I think they would be a betting favorite just the way that they have looked. And you can see what's happened after that big Oregon-Washington game. Bo Nix has played like a Heisman candidate. He's really done well. He's in that 6-1 range now for the Heisman. And at the same time, Michael Penix has played well enough to keep Washington undefeated. But he really puts his body out there. He gets exposed to a lot of hits. So I think there's a shift that has happened since that Washington-Oregon game. Washington has fallen down a little bit just in terms of perception. And Oregon, at the same time, is rising up. And just think about it. Oregon, after that loss, was in the ballpark of 30-1 for a national championship. Now they're definitely in play. They're going to be likely one of those 6 teams, one of those top 6 teams. If not, they're in the top 4 tonight when we find out.
Yeah, I certainly feel like Oregon is still a worthwhile bet, because if they run the table and go get another shot at Washington in the Pac-12 championship, why couldn't they win that after going toe-to-toe in that initial game and just getting stronger? So with that, I guess, who to you right now at this point in the season, like we're past the midway point, who are the real contenders to be in that college football playoff? And I mean, maybe even the Heisman candidates too, who are the real contenders to win a Heisman this year?
Well, Stormy, I'm going to answer that by really trying to think about right now, what's the selection committee going to say? And I think of those top four teams, I'm going to use the human element here. I just understand the way the business of college athletics works, understand the business of the NCAA. And when the season started, Georgia was considered the number one team. There's all that hype about the SEC. Maybe it's not the same SEC as it was the last few years, but it's still the SEC. Georgia is still undefeated. I think from the selection committee standpoint, it's going to be hard for them to take Georgia out of either 1 and 2. So Georgia is going to be either 1 and 2, or is it Ohio State, either 1 or 2? I think those two are in there. And then I think the team that just gets overlooked is Florida State because of the ACC and what happens for them moving forward. And that maybe that Clemson win wasn't as good as we think it was early on. But Florida State is still there undefeated. I've got them in that 3 spot. I think that's where they should be, where they likely will be from the selection committee. And then really is that 4th one. And I think the human aspect is one of the things you have to talk about, is Michigan is getting a lot of attention and not for winning games. So the selection committee is not in a bubble. They're not a sequestered jury. They hear all the things that are going on. And I just don't think that's going to help Michigan in any way. But at the same time, they're undefeated. They have that Ohio State game coming up. So I think you're going to find Michigan in that top 4. And then who's on the outside looking in? I think it is Washington. You still have to put, I would put Washington in the 5th spot because of their undefeated status, and then Oregon after them. So I think there's going to be some old biases that still happen. And the Pac-12 is going away. So the Pac-12, as we know it, is going away. I think the human element of this selection committee, if one conference has to jump on the grenade, so to speak, I think it's going to be the Pac-12. They're going to be left out. And then I would have Texas and Alabama rounding out that group. And all those teams are in play as we move forward. Now, Heisman-wise, I think we look at it in the remainder of the season. I really only see five candidates in here. And we talked about it last week. I'm taking J.J. McCarthy off the list because of the cheating allegations with Michigan, and he has a strong running back. So the way I look at it, you have five candidates, and there's different ways to bet them. You have Penix, you have Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Jordan Travis, and then Marvin Harrison. And I think just from a betting standpoint, you can get Harrison 12-1. It's still available. He's there. I like that. And then I'm going to say a wild card. Not that I have any desire to bet Carson Beck at 30-1, but he's still in the race. If Carson Beck was in that 60-70-1 range, I think you'd have to consider it because he really has played well the last 3 or 4 weeks. But what we talked about from the start here, Stormy, is the pool is narrowing, and as it's narrowing, you have fewer choices on the futures board for a national championship, and I only see about five real candidates for the Heisman at this point.
If Jaden Daniels lights it up in Tuscaloosa this weekend, that 4-1 is going down to 2-1, don't you think, Aaron?
Absolutely, and Michael, I think he will play well. He's done very well. One of the things that I would say from a betting standpoint is you can get the LSU quarterback who's having a hell of an offensive season at 4-1. That sounds good. However, there's still a lot of subjective things that go into someone winning the Heisman Trophy. So for me, if I was to look at it from a betting standpoint, 4-1 is great. It's better than about 1.5-1. But I would look at that 1.5-1, and that's LSU on the money line to beat Alabama. Now, I think if you want to play Jaden Daniels, you think he does well, look to play him on the money line at about plus 150, plus 160. For Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman Trophy this year, he has to beat Alabama this weekend. So look at that to me as a better bet. Yes, it pays less, but it's still a better bet. You get your money back quicker if he wins. And it takes away that subjective standpoint, and you don't have to worry about what these other candidates are doing if you take Daniels just to beat Alabama this weekend.
Real quick interruption here, Stormy, you'll need to know this. Chase Daniels just got traded to the San Francisco 49ers for a mid-round pick in 2024.
Ooh, big news. Okay, interesting.
Sorry, Aaron, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to get before she goes into complete panic and she can't close out the segment because I can't read the prompts, so we ought to get her settled down here.
Yeah, we need a defense. I will take Chase Young all day. Okay, yeah, we'll revisit this when we come back, but good to let the people know, but especially your girl. We will take it. Aaron Moore, real quickly, as we wrap things up here, we do have a great slate of games coming up on Saturday. Last iteration of Bedlam. K-State, Texas is a top 25 matchup now on both ends, but I know you also look at some of those lower level games for betting opportunities. What's your best bet of the weekend?
So I'm looking at it. There's all these big games, Stormy, but let's talk about Hawaii, Nevada. How can you overlook
How
can you overlook that fantastic game? I'm looking at this one from a betting standpoint. You can get Nevada -3.5. Now, Nevada is not a good team. We're not going to pretend that they're a good team. However, they've won 2 in a row. But the angle that I'm looking at from the betting standpoint is looking at Hawaii, and this is a body clock game for Hawaii. And I want to bet against the body clock that Hawaii is going to be playing at 10 a.m. Hawaii time when they go up to Reno. So it's a 10 a.m. game for them on the body clock. Last time that happened is when they played UNLV earlier this year, and they lost 44-20 when it was their Hawaiian time. And before that, at a noontime Hawaii time, they lost to New Mexico 42-21. So there's a lot of big games. There's Bedlam. There's LSU, Alabama. But boy, I can't wait, Stormy and Michael, to watch that Nevada-Hawaii game. And I might be the only one waving my Nevada flag this weekend.
And that is why you're the best. The Wolfpack, after an 0-6 start, they beat San Diego State. They beat New Mexico. Are they going to win 3 in a row and cover the 3.5? That awesome stuff, Aaron. You're the man. Appreciate your time. As always, that's Aaron Moore. Make sure you follow him on X at PublRelationProf, doing great work at VSiN.com. But hey, how about them Niners, baby? Chase
about
Young.
Them Niners.
Chase Young. Loading up that defense. Former number 2 overall pick. Going to San Francisco. We needed it. Let's get back on track, boys. Let's do it.
This. This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN's here to make you a better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. And I may or may not have read that a little bit quicker than I usually do so that I can jump right into the news that we got before the break. Michael Lombardi announcing here that we saw the reports that the San Francisco 49ers have gone ahead and finished a trade for Chase Young from the Washington Commanders, who have now unloaded both of their defensive stars, Montez Sweat and Chase Young, in the last couple of hours. But never a dull deadline, Michael, with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan last year pulling off the pre-deadline trade for Christian McCaffrey, and this year with the defensive struggle that they have had lately, bringing in a potential stud for that defense in Chase Young.
Well, you know, if anybody's going to get out of them, it'll be the 49ers, right? Chris Cork, the defensive line coach, I think is one of the best in the league, right? He gets guys to play at high level. And the Niners have no real liability in this, okay? We talk about what's the margin of safety. Okay, so if they trade for Young and he's not any good, they'll get a compensatory three back for him. Somebody's going to pay him. They're not going to be in the free agent market. If he turns out to be lights out, okay, great. He's, you know, well, maybe we could sign him to a contract. Maybe we can't. We still have Brock Purdy for two more years on a rookie contract, so we can pay guys. I think the one thing I love the most about it is I'm not a Young fan. I think to me, he doesn't play with enough power. He doesn't transfer speed to power, but I think Cork will get it out of him. And I think, you know, when they rush five now or four, they should never have to rush more than five, ever. Because you got one-on-ones with everybody at that point. You got Hargrave, you got Armstead, you got Young, and you got the great Nick Bosa. So they should never have to rush more than five guys at any single time. And he'll get a one-on-one protection, even though the fallacy is he was getting one-on-ones. He just wasn't making them. I think, to me, the coaching will play over. And after eight games now, Young will either be what everybody thought he was coming out of Ohio State, which is this elite pass rusher, or he'll just be a good player. But good players still make money in free agency.
Yeah, and we were quoting Celine Dion earlier, so let's quote Sheryl Crow here that maybe sometimes a change can do you good. And for Chase Young, imagine being in Washington and just being miserable and knowing that everybody's talking about how bad you are, to going to a team that has legit NFC championship and Super Bowl hopes and potentially being a piece that's going to help elevate that group and get them on track to go on that run. I feel like he's probably going to be super motivated getting into a new change of scenery with a new coaching staff, a lot of positive vibes around the potential for that defense. And I was surprised to see this big of a name, honestly, Michael. I was expecting maybe getting the name I kept hearing was at corner was Dante Jackson from Carolina. That was the name that I kept on hearing. So I'm very pleasantly surprised with this development.
But see, the Niners are always of the belief that they're like they're not like me. I mean, this is kind of goes through time immemorial. You know, they believe in the rule of when we were kids, count the five Mississippi, people get open. Count the three Mississippi, no one gets open. I'm from the three Mississippi school. So when you have five defensive linemen or three or five, four that can rush and you get one-on-one blocking, you don't need to blitz. Vince Lombardi said this back in the 1960s, blitzing is a form of weakness. And he was right. Now, obviously, there's zone dogs and things. The game has changed a little bit. But if your four can get pressure on the quarterback quickly, you can get away with lesser coverage guys. And the Niners have made a career of this because it's really, really hard to block them all one-on-one. And you can only slide the protection so many ways. So I love the fact that they got Drake Jackson on the team. He's still there. Kinlaw, a first-round pick. Randy Gregory, who's got some off-the-field issues. But when they got Gregory growing last week, he made a few plays. So this coach really makes a difference on a lot of these guys.
And I think good timing, too, with the bye week to get acclimated. Bye week coming at the right time, I think, for San Francisco. Now, to the flip side, Michael, we did talk about Washington earlier on when it came to them trading Montez Sweat away. in what ways are you viewing Washington right now and their future and what this team is trying to do? They get a second round pick for Sweat and a third here for Chase Young.
Well, look, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you could say, well, they're tanking the season. Are they? Are they really? I mean, they were horrible with these two guys on the defense. So how much worse could they go without these two guys, right? I mean, seriously, they were ranked in the bottom third in almost every statistical category you could possibly think of. So could they get any worse? I don't see how they could. Now, here's the bigger issue. You know, their secondary is horrible. They can't cover anybody. So they're going to be vulnerable to the pass. So guys are going to have to step up, but they couldn't stop the run, Stormy. They haven't been able to stop the run. I mean, think about this. They are the 29th team in the National Football League, 29th in yards allowed per attempt, 29th. They're 32nd in touchdown passes. They're 29th in yards allowed through the air. They're 31st overall in points allowed. They're 29th in yards allowed. Now, if you don't like to throw it against them, feel very comfortable to run the ball. They're 21st in yards allowed per attempt rushing. So that, like, it hasn't, like, they played great defense. I mean, they played good defense against Atlanta, right? I mean, excuse me. They haven't played good defense. They played good defense. The only game they played good defense was against Arizona. That was it. Everybody else has really, you know, last week the Eagles only ran for 59 yards, but everybody else has.
Yeah, and I was going to say that Arizona game, that was week one. That was week one.
That's how long it's been. I mean, you know, and so like they, you know, it's, you could, even the Giants had 356 yards against them.
I told you when we came out of that game that I was like, okay, I didn't watch the game closely because I was traveling. And I remember just thinking, oh, wow, they only held, they held them to just 14 points. They must have had a good day. And then you look at the yardage and the way they were outgained and you're just, nope, okay, obviously not. The point production doesn't tell that whole story. And you want to know how bad they are? This week in New England, the Patriots are laying 3.5 points on them, if that doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's the funniest thing ever, right? I mean, like, seriously, you know, they can't throw the ball at all. And, you know, they can't really, they couldn't protect. Last week, they could let, Mac Jones is a little bit much like Jimmy Garoppolo. We're very, very worried about getting hit. Now, again, this isn't meaning the quarterback's scared. This is about that they're protecting their bodies. They've been hit too much. This is what happens. Look, when you go back through time and you look at any quarterback, right, and you see all Kurt Warner, for example, when he left the Rams, he was shell-shocked. He went to the Giants. He couldn't really throw the ball. He had a horrible career at the Giants. People forget this, right? And then when he went to Arizona, he went as the backup. He didn't go as a Hall of Famer. He went as the backup. And all of a sudden, he got his eye level back up. This happens to quarterbacks quite often. They get gun-shy. And I think that's what's happened to Mac Jones. It's happened to a lot of guys in the league right now. Oh, we got another one coming, Stormy. Here we go. Let's see what this one is here.
Let's see what we got.
Kevin O'Connell's going to start Jared Hall this week. So there we go.
Okay. So for anyone who missed it, Josh Dobbs has been traded a little bit ago to the Minnesota Vikings, but going with Jaren Hall, the rookie out of BYU, who replaced Kirk Cousins in this most recent matchup after he went down with the Achilles injury. Okay. So good note there is the Vikings are getting 4.5 against the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta coming up this weekend, total 37.5. As we wrap things up here, Michael, and I'm excited for tomorrow when hopefully some more deals come through here in the short term, maybe that we can see if they'll have any other impact. But nice that we got some breaking news here. Let's close things out with our pro tip. I know we got to, we still got to hit our pro tip though. So close things out here. Got some great insight from Aaron Moore on the College Football Playoff Selection Committee rankings that are coming out later today. As bettors, let's not overreact to this first set of rankings. It doesn't tell you everything, but it is good to use this as a way of knowing how the committee is going to view teams as of right now, what they're going to view as important, how they prioritize certain things like strength of schedule and opponents and like head-to-head and certain wins. Like, this is what today is about, is just kind of gathering information, Michael.
Absolutely. And that's what we're in. We're in the information business. Same thing with this trade deadline. Don't react to it. don't think the Washington football team are tanking or going away because they weren't good on defense with those two guys. So nothing's going to change.
That's the storyline of the day for me. Washington's unloading assets, but I mean, they were trash on defense to begin with. So why does it matter? Which still is so disappointing because Ron Rivera is a defensive guy. That's supposed to be his bread and butter. I do feel for Ron Rivera, though, moving forward, because it feels like more and more his time with the Washington Commanders is coming to an end. Michael's phone continues to buzz, so more trades coming through. The Sharp Money crew hopefully can help you navigate some of that next on VSiN and DraftKings Network. That's a wrap for us here on the Lombardi Line. We'll see you tomorrow.